Aloha kakahiaka, you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Aina Ike on the air, which is made possible by KKCR sustaining members in partnership with HawaiianMusicStore.com, Kukui Street Tattoo, and Kai Bar Roasters. Hope all of you are having a beautiful, beautiful day today. Ike kakahiaka. This is Kumuhula Kehaulani Kikua. And I am so, so happy to be with you. Mahalo nui to our underwriters and for supporting Kauai's community radio. Amauna ke au kalani, ke makayawa iau, ke lawa I ka maha o, I ka piko ke kuaivi. Huliho I mai o kalani, I ke ala ka peke peke, ahe ala mihi mihi hia. Ahiki ai ta mohole, ua e nei o kalani, e ule o mai o ko, he I honalo ana ia, ahiki wahine kehea, e malani no he ino hua, ke ali ia e kua hivi. E malani no he ino hua, ke ali ia e kua hivi. He ino ano e malani. Aloha mai kako I keia kakahiaka nui o wau ke haunani ke kua. Ke kumuhula o halau palaihi wau ka ipuai. Ha ha anu wau no ke ia la nui. So, so happy to be with all of you this morning and kind of getting situated here. But let's see. And you know, I just realized that I have my contacts on today, and so I gotta zero in on a different vision plan here. Anyway, sending out my aloha. Thank you, Bradalu. Have a beautiful day today. Mahalo nui, aoiho. And sending out our aloha to all of our kia I mauna, up at Mauna Kea. And yeah, that's kind of gonna be my focus for the morning too. It's a big deal what's going on Hawaii Island. And so not only paying a tribute to Mauna Kea, because at any given day we do that. But I think that this is a good opportunity to maybe expand a little bit more about the Mauna and why the stand that is being taken is so crucially important to all of us. Kanaka Uivi, as well as others who are not born and raised here or not descended from the Kupuna Kahiko Okopai Aina o Hawaii. Yeah, so you know what? Close your eyes. Listen to this, the beautiful voices of the brothers Kazumaro. And let's just be transported to the beauty of Mauna Kea. The moon was around her,
and I could be forgotten.
And a thousand miles away,
and still I would recall the beauty of Mauna Kea.
Mahalo nui for tuning in to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Komohula Ke Haolani Ke Kua, and you are listening to Aina Ike on the air. I'm here every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And, you know, Aina Ike is a traditional place name from Kauai Island, and it is located in the Kona Moku, which is on the west side of Kauai. In the more modern terms of the district, Kona would constitute the Waimea district on the west side. But, you know, every island has a Kona, and our Kona is on the south and west end of Kauai Island. And so Aina Ike is a traditional place name. And I was inspired by this Olelo no Eau. I've been using it for, I don't know, more than two decades, I guess. And Olelo no Eau is an ancient Hawaiian proverb and poetical saying. And, you know, some of them are short one-liners. Some of them are short little paragraphs. But Olelo no Eau are words of wisdom, really, passed down to us through the generations orally, within families and within communities. Wise words of our ancestors that teach us the depth of places, the importance and the significance of various places, and not just restricted to places, but there's olelo no'eau about plants and different native plants and animals, values, and weather phenomena, different behaviors and protocols and things that are sacred and ceremonial, and also, you know, olelo no'eau that teach us lessons of how not to be. Anyway, there is a wonderful resource that I think everyone should have in their Hawaiian library. I mean, there's a few books. If you live in Hawaii, you should at least have a Hawaiian dictionary, and the expanded version of the Hawaiian dictionary written by Samuel Albert and Mary Kavenapuku'i is the best resource for a Hawaiian dictionary. And, you know, on the fly, you can also access it online, www.vehe.com. W-E-H-E.com, and you can access, you know, a limited version, a good enough, but it's nonetheless a limited version of the Hawaiian Dictionary online. But for your Hawaiian, your personal Hawaiian, you know, resource library, you just need a few books. I love books, actually. I love, like, real books, not ebooks, but real books that I can hold in my hand and turn the pages and read page by page and put dog ears on the pages that have, like, significant ike and wisdom and information. But anyway, the Hawaiian Dictionary is one by Mary Kavenapuku'i and Samuel Albert. And then the other is Olelo no'eau, yeah, ancient Hawaiian proverbs and poetical sayings that was collected and published, put to print by Mary Kavenapuku'i, who grew up, of course, in that time, that era, in that traditional household where all of this stuff was being transferred from one generation to another. It was the lifestyle. It was the daily routine of being raised in a traditional household, to speak Hawaiian, to express in Hawaiian, to follow protocols and engage in different ceremonies in Hawaiian. And then the poetic nuances of Olelo Hawaii, and we see that in the Olelo No'eau. Anyway, one of my most favorite Olelo No'eau is Eli Eli Kulana o Aina Ike. And Eli Eli Kulana o Aina Ike translates to mean, profound is the nature of Aina Ike. And there's a play on words. The word Eli Eli means deep, as in profound. But also, like when you look into the caldera of Pelehonua Mea, when you look into Kilauea Crater up at the Volcanoes National Park, and you see how it just goes down for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet into the earth, that natural caldera. That is, oftentimes we see the word Eli Eli in chants for Pele, because it describes how she digs deep down into the earth to access the, to bring forth the magma, the lava, the pele, from the core and the center of the earth to bring it out to the surface, which then creates, lava flows, the eruptions, the earthquakes, all of that stuff shakes things up and brings that, the lava, from within the core of the earth, and thus results in eruptions and lava flows. So we see that word Eli Eli often in chants for Pele, because it describes that action of the fire goddess of the volcanoes, digging deep within the earth to move the earth so that lava can be produced. And of course, that kuleana has to do simply with making new land. That's what Pelehonua Mea's job is. So Eli'eli in Hawaiian means to dig. It figuratively means firmly rooted, profound, deep, as a kapu, or deep in reverence. And then kulana is kulana means in Hawaiian, there's different definitions of it. In this particular olelo no eo, it's kulana, so spelled K-U with the kahako or the makron over that U, L-A-N-A, and kulana, pronounced kulana versus kulana. Kulana is a station or rank, title, condition. It's a place, can be a place or a position. So Eli'eli kulana o aina ike is translated to mean profound and deep is the nature of aina ike. And then we can look at the word aina ike itself and translate it. Quite simply put, aina, of course, is land. And ike, ike means knowledge. Ike means knowledge. Ike means wisdom. Ike is... can be expertise, that type of knowledge. It means to see and to know and to feel, to recognize, to perceive, to have acquired the experience, to understand deeply and have that ability to comprehend, and hence learning as of hearing or sight and sensory and perception and vision. So, you know, when people say, oh, you know, we want you to, can you share your mana'o, you know, about something? So mana'o are thoughts. Yeah. More specifically, if you're wanting, you know, in-depth information, or if we go to, you know, an incredible award-winning composer, and we want to know about, you know, this exceptional song and, you know, what inspired him and what are the different levels of meaning, you're actually asking for that hakumele's ike. Mana'o, and versus mana'o, mana'o is, are your thoughts. And, mana'o is translated to mean your thought. It can be an idea or a belief. But the key word here is opinion. Yeah. And so the difference between ike and mana'o is ike is learned knowledge, wisdom, intellect. And mana'o is, mana'o are your thoughts or a thought. Or what your opinion is, or what your belief is about something. So anyway, aina ike. Aina ike is a traditional place name on the west end of Kauai. Aina, of course, meaning land, and ike meaning knowledge. So aina ike, land of knowledge. Profound is the nature of aina ike, or profound is the ability to have exceptional knowledge and wisdom and learned expertise and experience of the aina. And so we should all aspire. Yeah, we should all make that a goal to learn more and more and more about where we live, the significance of place names, the mo'olelo, or the oral traditions and the stories that make places on our island, and in our ahupua'a, or the land division that we live in. So, you know, some of the things that we're taught in the traditional Hawaiian household from a very young age is, what are the names of your mountains? What are the names or the name of your water source? What is the the name of your vahipana, or what are your vahipana. Vahi in Hawaiian means place. Pana means storied. But that's just one definition of the word pana. Vahipana are storied places. They're celebrated places that are well known or famous and sometimes legendary because there are stories about these places. We can also find Olelo Noel about different celebrated and storied places. And so, you know, in that book, Olelo Noel by Mary Kavenapuku'i, in the back, there's an index. And so you can look up a word such as rain. And there are, I would imagine, I'm just guessing because I don't have the book in front of me, but there's got to be at least 50, maybe even more, Olelo Noel about rain. And you can look up wind. And there will be multiple Olelo Noel about wind. But in addition to that, you can look up the word. And, of course, I'm gravitating to weather phenomena. So rainbow, there are multiple Olelo Noel about rainbow. Ali'i, yeah, chiefs, there are multiple Olelo Noel about chiefs. So in that particular book, you can look up different words to learn via the poetical sayings and the ancient Hawaiian proverbs of our ancestors and learn that way. But there are also in the index Olelo Noel that has been put into categories, chiefs, animals, plants, and places. So if we were to look up, the word Wailua, yeah, as in Wailua here on Kauai, there are Olelo Noel about Wailua. If we were to look up the name Waialeale, there are multiple Olelo Noel about Waialeale. And the more Olelo Noel that were composed and preserved and passed on and eventually documented and published into this book form by Mary Kavenapuku'i, it gives us an indication of how special that place is. Another way to determine the significance and the importance of a place is by looking at mele. Yeah, chants, songs, but really I'm looking more towards chants. Because they really hold an abundance of information regarding different places. So vahipana or story are storied or celebrated places. You know, one of the and celebrated, noted, or legendary place is one of the definitions of pana. But another definition for pana is heartbeat. Your pulse, and to pulsate, to throb like the heart. So, you know, when I look at that word, vahipana, not only is it a celebrated or a storied place, but it is a place, a location that has a pulse, that has a heartbeat, which means that our kupuna recognize these places as having a certain vibrancy, you know, a different vibe level. Thus, it had, a significant source of energy, of mana. And so vahipana are not necessarily just storied, like there's a legend about the sleeping giant for Mount Nono. Yeah, that's one version of a significant place being celebrated through stories and legends. But, you know, there are many, many places throughout Hawaii that are kupuna. Recognized as having a more intense and profound energy level attached to it. So Vahipana, stored in celebrated places, very, very special and significant. And sometimes Vahipana are bumped up into its own, a different category. Vahikapu. Yeah, Vahikapu are sacred places. So, you know, that's what I want to talk about regarding Mauna Kea today. But before I do that, I have a couple of songs that are queued up. And, you know, this past weekend, we had an opportunity to bid aloha hui ho to one of our cherished and most beloved kupuna of Kauai, and more specifically of Haena. And so it was such a beautiful, beautiful ho'olewa, a gathering of friends and family and community from all over, not only Kauai, but from all across the Paiaina, who came together to celebrate and pay their respects to the ohana and to of Uncle Tommy Hashimoto. And so I want to send out my love and my aloha to his wife, our dear Auntie Annie Taihuk Hashimoto. 65 years she and Uncle Tommy were married, which is such an incredible accomplishment to have that kind of dedication. And and you know, they did everything together. They worked together. They worked the lo'i together. Hui, aloha.
He ho'olohe oko ya KKCR FM, Kauai Community Radio, 90.9, ame 91.9 FM.
Yeah, mahalo for that. Anyway, I want to dedicate this out to the Hashimoto Ohana, Auntie Annie, to all of the girls, the Mo'opuna. This is Haena.
Kauakuna makai makana e makana o haena i ka e hukai kai hone hone o ke kai hone hone e o ke I kanania oli mahuli kaua kuna makai makana e makana o haena i ka e hukai kai hone hone o ke kai hone hone Kaluna o hanalei, hala ui kanini a ka ua loku, luulu e kaliko hiki wei oli, o kawai aloha no ia. Na pua o kawai ili ia me ka mai le la uli ili le iho o heno i ka poli le iho o heno i ta Melehe noa no kawai, o kawai he molelei. amali e haina i amai ana kapua na oha e na i ka e ukai oha e na i ka e ukai. Hei no anō ka wai, o ka wai he molele i ka mali e. Haina i a mai ana ka puana, o haena i ka e hukai. O haena i ka. Beauty of Mano Kalanipo.
That was my dear Kumuhula friend and brother from the island of Maui, Kumuhula Kamaka Kukona, singing one of his original compositions, Ha Enaika Ehukai. And, you know, Uncle Tommy's Mo'opuna Hileo danced this song so beautifully at his ho'olewa. And, if you have a chance, yeah, go listen to Kumukamaka's recording of Ha'enaika Ehukai. You know, he wrote that many, many years ago, and it was first recorded by the group Ale'a in a totally different arrangement, which I, too, enjoy. But I gotta admit, I love this one, you know, a whole lot more. But I love that mele, especially so because it speaks about the beauty of Haena, the different wahipana or storied and celebrated places throughout the ahupua of Haena, from Limahuli to Manoa, to Ke'e and you know, Makua and all of those different places. And, you know, for me, there's so many things about Haena that I absolutely love. But most of all, it really, you know, it's the families, it's the people that have for generations made their home there, raised their keiki, you know, lived with their kupuna, and have a very a deep and profound connection to the place. I have one more song for Haena I want to dedicate to our hulu kupuna, to our beloved Uncle Tommy Hashimoto, which I miss so dearly. So many of us miss him so much. But again, to Auntie Annie and the entire ohana, one more song for Haena, and this is by the group Whoever. And, you know, I want to share this thought because it's stuck with me, and it just reminded me of that beautiful gathering down at Waioli Church. And I told myself, you know what, this is what it is to be a part of a beautiful extended Hawaiian community and an extended Hawaiian ohana. You know, sometimes we don't see people for so many years. And, you know, when somebody gets married, that's a big celebration, or get baby luau and you see a lot of people that you don't see often. But when somebody significant in our community passes away, everybody comes out and they come from across the island chain to pay their respects and aloha and celebrate and honor the life of that beloved kupuna. And that's what it was this past Saturday for Uncle Tommy. So, you know, with that, I just want to share this mana'o, because that my experience there and seeing all the people that I haven't seen for a really, really long time reminded me that you can always tell where a beautiful soul has been by the tears and the smiles left behind. Yeah, nui ke aloha ya oe.
Uncle Tommy Hashimoto. Love you, miss you, will always be so, so grateful for all the things that you have shared with the community, your expertise as a lehua, yeah, as an expert, master, lava'i'o. This is the group Whoever singing another mele for Haena.
Thank you.
Is E K Kanania Ohaena with the group Whoever. This is Kumuhula Ke Haolani Kikua. You are tuned in to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and I hope you're all having a beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm with you till 11 a.m. this morning. Okay, so if you are not aware, there is a huge stand going on right now up at the Mauna. Brother Louis dedicated his entire show to the Kia'i Mauna up on Mauna Kea on Hawaii Island. If you are just tuning in, this is Kumuhula Ke Haolani Ke Kua. For the rest of the morning, I want to shift the focus to Mauna Kea. And for those especially who are visiting, or if you're not familiar, Mauna Kea is a kupuna, is an ancestor for many of us who are able to trace our genealogies back to the Mauna itself. And not just the mountain as a landmark and a physical place, but through the tracing of mo'oku auhau or genealogies, many Kanaka o'iwi, many Hawaiian people, and not just from Hawaii Island, but throughout the Pai Aino of Hawaii, throughout the archipelago of Hawaiian Islands, are able to trace their genealogies back to Mauna Kea, the mountain, as well as to the different akua, or the different deities that are part of that mountain. So, you know, this is such a gigantic topic and a huge topic. And so I cannot encourage enough for us to go read up about it. Not all the information out there is accurate. There's some media releases and some of the stuff that the mainstream media promotes and puts out there is, you know, it's kind of swayed towards the development of the 30-meter telescope. But as a native Hawaiian, as a Kanaka o'iwi, and as a kumuhula, I feel that I have the kuleana to speak to the things that are not necessarily spoken of in mainstream media, in the conversations, in our workplaces, or in our communities. And one of the things that often gets looked over, and whenever the public hearings come up, or there are protests, or there are people taking a stand, and oftentimes we're not able to really articulate, but we know, and we say, and we proclaim this Mauna Kea, this mountain is extremely sacred. So for the rest of the morning, I want to go right there. I want to talk about what Mauna Kea means to us, what Mauna Kea means to me, and many of those of my colleagues, my ohana, friends and family, and the extended community across the island chain recognize. Yeah, whether you're able to articulate on it or not, majority of us, I will even say, even those that might be pro-TMT, will say the Mauna is sacred. But really, what does that mean, you guys? What does that mean? So I want to talk about that this morning. And I want to talk about it through taking a glimpse at different oli and mele, sharing mana'o, yeah, because I have a lot of opinions about that, but also sharing ike, yeah, intellect and intelligence and wisdom and learned experiences, as well as mo'olelo,
Yeah, mo'olelo are stories. Mo'o'olelo, yeah, the oral traditions passed down from generation to generation through stories and songs and chants and ceremonies. Ike kupuna, yeah, ancestral wisdom and more, all relating to the topic of Mauna Kea, because from time and again, we have found ourselves in a struggle to malama or care for, protect the places that are considered sacred to the Hawaiian people. And that's a frustration that I have personally as a Kanaka Oʻiwi, as a native Hawaiian, you know, born and raised here in Hawaii, that whenever something comes up, we're given 3 minutes. We're given 3 minutes to express why we are opposed to the way things are in a certain place. You know, we just had this discussion with the planning commission just several weeks ago about the need, the sense of urgency to protect the lo'i pa'akai, or the, you know, the salt patches down at Salt Pond in Hanapepe. And we all know it's sacred. But somehow we got to convince the people that are the decision makers, or in this case, the politicians, who, by the way, are all non-Hawaiian, they're making the decisions for Mauna Kea. And so they have no clue. They are ike ole. They have no understanding why the Mauna is sacred. So I want to talk about that. I want to focus on sharing and expanding upon the oral traditions, the beliefs, and the practices of our people, of our ancestors, that elevate places like Mauna Kea to be of the highest accord of sanctity to the Hawaiian people. And, you know, and of course, the views and opinions that I'm highlighting this morning and sharing is of my own. It is not that of KKCR Radio, its staff, or its underwriters. So I do want to put that forward in that disclaimer. But most of all, many of us have been in Pule now for consecutive days, sending up our Pule of peace, of love, and protection for our kupuna, our kia'i, and kako'o, yeah, our elders who are on the mountain. The hundreds of people from not only Hawaii Island, but from all the different islands who have gone up to the Mauna to support for the protection of Mauna Kea. And those especially who are on the front lines on the Mauna, yeah, sending all of you our pule and our prayers. So I want to urge everyone to have those discussions, to ask questions, to talk to your kumu. For those of you who belong to halau, raise up that discussion and that conversation in your hula schools. This is an opportunity for all of us as kumuhula to be enlightening and educating and raising the consciousness and the awareness of our own haumana in our halau, as well as those in our family, those in our extended ohana, our friends, our colleagues, our co-workers, as well as people in our community. So I want to talk about the significance of Mauna Kea. But first of all, I want to share this this chant with you, because this is really going to set the tone. Okay.
Yeah. 부하에
a chant entitled Eo e Mauna Kea, and it was recorded in one of Kaumaka Iwa Kanaka Ole's earlier recording projects. Let me just stretch over on this side over here. Oops. And he does that particular mele with his mother, Kekuhi Kanaka Ole Ohai Lilani, who also is a kumuhula. And for those who may not be familiar, the Kanaka Ole family is a very well noted family of hula experts, descended from the traditions of the hula pele and the hula traditions of Aiha'a from Hawaii Island. And and they have a vast genealogy of generations of hula masters. But that particular chant that I just shared with you folks was offered up by Kaumaka Iwa Kanaka Ole and her mother, Kekuhi Kanaka Ole Ohai Lilani. The title of that particular mele is Eo e Mauna Kea. So it is a chant that calls out to Mauna Kea. And for those that are not familiar, although so many of us already are, but it's always nice to revisit and share and give opportunity for those who may not be familiar why this mauna is so, so important to us. So Mauna Kea is a dormant volcano on the island of Hawaii. You know, its peak is 13,803 feet high above sea level, making it the highest point in the Hawaiian island chain. And while most of the volcano is underwater, and when it's measured from its ocean base, Mauna Kea is the tallest mountain in the world. From the bottom of the ocean, measuring more than 33,000 feet in height. Mauna Kea is about a million years old and has thus passed the most active shield stage of life hundreds of thousands of years ago. So many mele, so many chants have been composed,
And I use the word composed because we didn't write until, you know, 1820, when the Calvinist missionaries arrived on our shores and introduced the skills of reading and writing. Prior to that, everything was orally documented. And it was preserved in the Lolo'uila, yeah, or in the computer brains of our ancestors countless generations ago. And we were able to preserve all of the details and all of the information about what is sacred, about weather phenomena, about moon phases, about different rituals and ceremonies, different values, songs about places and the birthing of chiefs, the different battles, everything that occurred within the Hawaiian universe, including details of the universe itself, was composed and protected and preserved in oral documentation of chants. So when we are looking for details in understanding our place and the significance of place, we go and we look in the old chants. So, a myriad, hundreds of chants have been written for Mauna Kea. But Mauna Kea is that sentinel being, is that ancestor, is the mountain that is the pico of not only the Pai Aina, but a lot of people recognize Mauna Kea as the pico of the Honua, the pico of this planet, because it is the tallest mountain in the world. Okay, that's a big deal, people. That is a really, really big deal. And so our many generations before us, Hakumele, composers, Kumuhula, and many, many others, poets, kahuna, chiefs, warriors, mothers, grandparents, have all composed different traditions of oratory to preserve the details of the significance of Mauna Kea. So if anybody ever says Mauna Kea is just a mountain and that it's not sacred because, look, they didn't build anything up there, or there are no shrines and no altars at a certain place on the northern plateau where they want to build the TMT. But I want to talk about that a little bit more after this small little break. Yeah, so this is Kumuhula Kehalani Kikua. You're listening to KKCR Hanale, KAQA Kilauea. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I'm with you for another hour. And Aina Ike on the Air is made possible by KKCR sustaining members in partnership with HawaiianMusicStore.com, Healthy Hut, and the Kauai Community College Hawaiian Studies Program.
Sharing the aloha through Hawaiian music. HawaiianMusicStore.com, serving Kauai for 20 years in the Princeville Shopping Center next to Foodland. Hawaiian music, CDs, DVDs, new releases, and old classics. Offering over 400 CD titles in stock daily. Mahalo nui loa for supporting Hawaiian music artists.
Healthy Hut Market and Cafe, now right off the highway in the old school building in Kilauea. Organic and natural groceries, produce, raw foods, beer and wine, an expansive organic salad bar, fresh hot meals, smoothies, juices and coffees, and locally made products. Healthy Hut, a family-owned business, supports KKCR.
The Hawaiian Studies Program at Kauai Community College, offering courses and experiences in Hawaiian language and culture for the children and friends of Hawaii. 245-8202.
Mahalo nui for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Thank you again, HawaiianMusicStore.com, Healthy Hut, and the Kauai Community College Hawaiian Studies Program. So, this is Kumuhula Ke Haolani Kiku. I'm with you for another hour. I am talking about Mauna Kea. And really, my focus for this morning is to talk about the sacredness of Mauna Kea. There's a lot of information out there, and I think that one of the things that we might not talk about more often, and because people are maybe a little bit uncomfortable about speaking to or speaking of the Hawaiian deities, the gods and goddesses that are prevalent still in this 21st century for many of us who still recognize the elemental manifestations of nature. And really, if you study a little bit about, or go study a lot, no, study just a little bit, go take a deeper look at the ancient Hawaiian belief system, you will find that from the four major akua, or from the four major deities, Ku, Kane, Kanaloa, and Lono, we go from 4 to 40 to 400 to 4,000 and 40,000 and 400,000 names of different deities. But the one thing that this plethora of sacred beings and sacred entities have in common is the fact that they are nature forms. So, early on in my upbringing in the formalities of hula and learning chants and dances about the land and about sacred places and about weather phenomena and all of that, all of those different types of topics and subjects, I was able to relate, to learn through hula, to relate to the landscapes and the environment and the life-giving resources, whether it's water or the sun, the rain and the moon. All of those things are life-giving sources of nature. And so our kupuna saw all of these things in their universe, in their world. And their worldview is based on an ancient Hawaiian belief system that sees nature as divine, very simply put. So when we talk about Mauna Kea, there are a number of deities that make their home on the Mauna. And so one of the things that I want to bring to light in this discussion, and I know we're not able to converse back and forth, and you're basically just listening to me rattle on and on, and I thank you for your patience and for your interest in listening to what I'm sharing this morning. But you know, there are different words. There are different words that help us understand places and realms. And so before I start talking about the different deities, I want to talk about Vau. Vau is spelled W-A-O. Yeah. Vau is a general term for regions and, or different realms. So, we have Vau Kanaka. Yeah. Kanaka are human beings. So Vau Kanaka are the places that humans live and dwell. And then you have Vau Nahele. And Vau Nahele are the inland forest regions. These are places that include dry forest areas, rainforest, cloud forest areas. These are where all of the trees and the timber that are used to make our canoes, the koa forest, the ohia forest, the different types of trees that are important for not only building our hale and different structures in the heiau or in the temples where our kupuna worship, but, you know, timber for the carving of ki. Yeah. Or what people are more familiar with, the word tiki. Yeah, T-I-K-I is the word that we see for carved images throughout Polynesia. But in Hawaii, we simply say ki'i, which is the same thing. So tiki, ki'i, yeah, likinoa like, same thing. The T is replaced by a K, T-I or K-I, and then the K in tiki is dropped and inserted. We insert the okina. Yeah, or the glottal stop, and then I, ki'i, ki, okina I, which are carved images of different deities and religious and spiritual beings that are placed in designated areas, whether it's a heiau or places of worship upon our kuahu, you know, our altars and our shrines in our pu'u honua, etc. So, the forested regions is where we get all of the timber, whether it is the koa for the making of canoes, the carving of weapons, same with the kawila, kawila wood, ohia, ohia lehua, etc. But in addition to that, in the Waunahele are all of the ferns for hula people, yeah, the ferns, the palapalai, the pala'a, the ikaha, the pe'ahi, the lawa'e, the wahine noho mauna, the iwa'iwa. There are multiple types of ferns. All of these are very, very important, not just for the making of lei and adornments to decorate ourselves for the delivery and the presentation and the offering up of our dances in hula, but they are also medicines. So in our forested regions, in the Waunahele, we find different plant materials that are life-giving. Yeah, so not just for the making of leis to adorn ourselves, but for the making of offerings, to be able to commune and engage with our gods and goddesses in the way of offering up ho'okupu, alana, mohai. Those are different types of offerings. Yeah, not everything is a ho'okupu and not everything is an alana. It depends on what your intentions and what your needs are. That is going to determine what kind of offering that you give. Yeah, so we can't just pick a leaf and go, okay, well, this is my offering. It comes from my heart. Yeah, we have to put a little bit, a lot more effort into identifying and planning what is it that we are going to offer. Okay, so that's the Waunahele. And then the last realm is the Vauakua. Yeah, Vauakua. Akua, Akua in Hawaiian, of course, means spirits, deities, gods, goddesses. And so the Vauakua are the highest points on throughout the Hawaiian island chain. So specifically, yeah, the summits of our mountains. The summits of our mountains are where our deities dwell. And we know that. We've always known that. And we've always shared that. But, you know, people don't want to listen, or because they don't believe, they choose to not respect. So one of the things that I just want to express and share is that, and this is applicable, you know, you folks, wherever we go in the world, it's not only in Hawaii. But this is what I learned from my kupuna. This is a very big part of being Hawaiian, being indigenous to these islands, being a native, born and raised Kanaka Uivi, is that we are taught from a very, very young age our place and how to behave in our places. And when we go to other people's places, we are expected to behave and conduct ourselves accordingly. And one of the things that is so important to me as a kumuhula and in my halau is every week when class begins, we circle up, not a complete circle, but we gather in a huaka, which is like a crescent shape. We face the kuahu, and we go through a series of a ceremonial prayer chants. So there is an order of protocol that is followed every single week. We've been doing it for generations. And before my time, generations upon generations. And as I look back in the mo'okuauhau of my ohana's hula traditions, it's the same protocols and ceremonial rites that have been followed and maintained and perpetuated. And one of the things that this teaches us is the importance of asking permission. We do that every week in halau. The haumana are required to learn of that ceremony and exchange between the haumana or the student and the kumuhula, which is the mele komo and the mele kahea, which enables the student to ask for permission through chant to enter into that sacred space of learning and knowledge. And while as the kumuhula, I am the conduit and the person, the source that provides the teachings and the guidance, you know, I'm really the conduit that enables the connection between the haumana and myself and the different deities of hula. And all of the different deities of hula have to do with nature. And in large, have to do with the forest. So when we look at Vauwaku, I'm going to talk about forest first. So when we look at the Vaunahele, the Vaunahele are places like the Koke'e area, you know, where we go pick maile and palapalai, and it's plum season, so maybe we go pick plums up in the forest of Koke'e. Yeah, that area there is Vaunahele. We, you know, traditionally our kupuna didn't really even live in the Vaunahele. They accessed it, you know, they accessed it for the gathering of timber or vegetation and materials, whether it was fern or different plants, for the making of medicines, for the carving of tools and other, you know, other materials that were needed for utilitarian purposes, whether it was an umeke or a bowl or a house post or timber to build your hale, whatever it may be. So they would access these places, but they wouldn't live there. It was understood that the forested areas had its own inhabitants. Yeah. And not just the ones you cannot see, but we do know. And you know, when you go in the forest, there's this feeling of reverence and of peace and of beauty, that beauty in nature, that if you just go to the forest, you just feel good. So, you know, one of the benefits of going hiking is to engage in that environment. Yeah, but we do recognize as Native Hawaiian people and as cultural practitioners, we recognize that these places are inhabited by spirit beings, by ancestral beings, and by creatures. Yeah, the creatures in nature, whether it's the kahuli snail that is highly endangered or the Native Hawaiian birds, which are struggling as well to exist in their environments. And a lot of this has to do with impact of their habitation sites. Usually it's impact by mankind. Okay, so that's the Vaunahele. And then you have the Vauwakua. The Vawakua are the very tips of summits, of mountains. These are places that while we as human beings can access, it's very difficult for us to be there. It's very uncomfortable. The weather and the climatic conditions are harsh. And when we look at Mauna Kea, which is, you know, at such a high altitude, the air is thin, it's hard to breathe, it's extremely cold, the winds are whipping. Yeah, all of that reminds us that the Vawakua belongs to the Akua. Yeah, it's so simple, right? So simple. When people are not from here, or when we are not raised in the traditions, or when we choose to not learn about them, then, you know, we have no knowledge of these places, the significance of places, so we don't, therefore, we don't have a connection. You know, that spiritual connection to the essence and the pana. Yeah, remember Vahipana? Yeah, those storied and sacred places, because they have a heartbeat. Mauna Kea has a heartbeat. Mauna Kea is a Vawakua. So when we say Vawakua, oh, okay, so it's the realm of the gods. Well, who are they? Okay, so my whole point of this morning session of Aina Ike on the Air is to speak to what is sacred, why we're so passionate. Why we're so passionate, why all those kupuna are putting themselves on the front line and the kia'i are putting themselves on the front line so that they can protect the sanctity and the sacredness of this mountain. I'm going to detour just a little bit to bring in some of the highlights of the chant that was performed moments ago by Nakumuhula, daughter and mother team, Kaumakaiva Kanakaole, and Kekuhi Kanakaole Ohaililani. And they did the chant, Eo e Mauna Kea. And I don't have the words at my fingertips, and I just jotted down some of the things that I was hearing as they were chanting it, as I was playing it for you. And at the very beginning, they chant Mauna. The Mauna is a kupuna. So they recognize in that chant that the Mauna Kea, is an ancestor to their family genealogies, as well as for many, many other people, including myself, that am able to trace our Mo'oko Auhau and our family genealogies back to that mountain. It also mentions Kane Hualani. Kane is one of the four major Akua. Kane has more than 70 nature forms, or Kino Lau. Kino in Hawaiian means body. Lau means many or myriad. So Kino Lau are the many body forms of the Hawaiian deities. And so those body forms can come in the way of different native Hawaiian plants. They can come in the way of different animals. They can come in the way of creatures in the ocean. They can come in the way of cloud, different types of clouds, rainbows, rains, weather phenomena, climatic conditions. So the god Kane has more than 70 kinolau. And the reason why I know this is because there are chants that helu them. Yeah, there's chants that call out all the different body forms of Kane. I'm just using Kane as an example. Two of Kane's most important kinolau is the sun and fresh water. So and so specifically, Kane in his sun form is Kane Hualani. And that's what's in the chant that Kikuhien and Kaumakaiva did for us moments ago. And at the very beginning of the chant, they call upon Kane Hoalani. So Kane Hoalani is the sun. It's Kane's form in the orb, the sun. And it speaks about how when the sun rises at Kumukahi, Kumukahi is the easternmost point in the archipelago of the Hawaiian Islands. And when that sun rises at Kumukahi, the first light touches the summit of Mauna Kea. And I've witnessed and experienced that before in many sunrise ceremonies for solstices and equinoxes, whether down at Lai Kumukahi, the promontory down by the ocean, in Puna, or up at the caldera of Ue Kahuna, which is on the rim of Kilauea crater. And so no matter where you are, yeah, when that sun rises from the horizon, the first place that that sunlight will touch is the summit of Mauna Kea. So the chant talks about that. The chant goes on to describe all the different cloud formations. And it goes on to cite Navahine Noho Mauna. Yeah, the women that reside on the Mauna, the women that reside on the mountain. It describes them, these women, or this female forms, by their names and by their kinolau. And so who are these women? Yeah. Who are these women? Who are these other deities? Anyway, and at the very closing line, at the very end, the closing line, they express their love for the Mauna. Yeah, so you know Hawaiians, we're passionate about our sacred places. And they're not just sacred. We have a familial connection with them. They are our ohana. They are our ancestors. They are our family members. And we relate to them this way. For many people that come from different culture and belief systems, you're probably rolling your eyeballs right now, and that's okay. You know, no matter where we go in the world, people have their cultures and their beliefs and their lifestyles. And so that's one of the important learning experiences that come in a traditional halau, such that we practice every week. We engage in the order of protocols that require us to ask permission to enter into that space of learning. We go up to the forest to gather our palapalai or our lawa'e or maile or whatever it is, or even the canoe builders of the times of our ancestors when they would enter up into the forest. There's a pule, there's a chant, there's a prayer. We always, always, always ask permission. No matter if it's a mauka or makai, we go to the ocean, we ask permission. In the way of a prayer chant, we go up Mauka, we ask permission in the way of a prayer chant. We go up to the Mauna. It's actually a larger protocol because, again, the Mauna, Mauna Kea, is not just the Mauna Hele. It's not just, and I don't mean to water down the importance of it, but it's not just the heo. Yeah, heos are super significant. But it depends on where things are, in what realm or vow, which is W-A-O, yeah, is going to indicate the depth and the breadth of its sacredness. So when we look at Mauna Kea, we are looking at the Vauakua. It means that that realm belongs to the gods. So one of the things that happened many, many years ago when they started to, you know, and when I say they, I'm talking about the University of Hawaii and the developers of the various telescopes. So, you know, our people have always said no. We have always been adamant and have said no. We've said no forever. But the foreigners that come to our shores feel superior to, you know, us native peoples. And sadly, foreigners, not all, but many foreigners have come to our island shores feeling that they're smarter, they're more intelligent, they know more, and they're entitled. And we even see that in today's time. So, you know, I just very humbly want to just put this out there, that if I go to your home, I will come with respect and reverence. So when you come to our home, we expect nothing less, that that people will come humbly, respectfully, and to heed to and respect and recognize what is important to the native peoples of that place, the Kama'aina, the residents of that place, and the lineal descendants of these places, because we have a familial connection with all of these places. And for me, I'm very passionate about it because I've only lived in Hawaii my entire life. I don't really have a desire to live elsewhere at this moment in time. And even the thought of moving to somewhere else strange feels uneasy for me. And a lot of it has to do with the depth of my roots in this aina, my belief system, the culture that I absolutely love. And, you know, it's been proven that hula can exist anywhere, because it does. There are hula learners in every corner of this planet. No matter where you go, in some of the strangest places you have never heard of, there is hula. And which is also a very interesting thing, that hula has been like a magnet for people all over, because it's healing, because it touches the spirit, it touches the soul. And sometimes we can't articulate on it, but it does that. And the reason why it does that is because it has its roots, its origins in the depths of the aina and the ocean here in Hawaii'i, which is totally packed with mana, with spiritual energy, and the vibrations of the earth and the atmosphere. All of that is mana. This mountain has mana. Mauna Kea has mana. But that Vawakua, yeah, that's the realm of the gods. So I'm going to talk about who resides there. Okay, so Mauna Kea can be translated as Mauna, mountain, Kea, white. And because of its high altitude, it snows often, especially during the winter season. But we have seen it snow on Mauna Kea in the height of summer. And that comes from the interaction and the engaging of our indigenous practitioners, cultural practitioners, and experts of the culture in the way of ceremonial rites and processes that tap into the vibrations of the atmosphere and the environment. And so when we chant certain chants and nature responds, yeah, that's making that connection through the vibration of our voice. And so Oli, the art of Oli, is different from singing, where it's you know, mainly for our listening pleasure and enjoyment. And chants can be that too, but Oli or chants have, and the art of Oli or the skills of Oli really have a higher purpose of sending the vibrations out into the atmosphere and into the environment for the intention and the purposes of making these spiritual connections with places, with beings, both seen and unseen. Okay, so gods and goddesses, Nākua, yeah, deities related to Mauna Kea. Mauna Kea can be, on the surface, translated as White Mountain, because, yes, it does snow up there. But Mauna Kea is actually Mauna Awakea, the mountain of Wakea. Wakea is Sky Father in our belief system. And you know, indigenous cultures around the world have that same tradition, yeah, of Sky Father and Earth Mother. And it's no different. We have that too in our belief system and in Hawaiian culture. And so our Sky Father is Wakea, and Papa, or more formally Papahanaumoku, is Earth Mother. Papahanaumoku is translated as Papa who gives birth to island children. And so Mauna Kea is known to many of us Hawaiians as Mauna Awakea or Mauna Owakea, meaning that that mountain belongs to Sky Father. Okay? Again, Papahanaumoku is also known by other names, one of which is Haumea. So Earth Mother or Mother Earth is Haumea. But in her function of giving birth to islands, she is known to us as Papahanaumoku. And so Papa and Wakea are the progenitors of the Hawaiian people. And that mountain is an offspring of the sacred union of Wakea, or the atmosphere, and of Papa, of the earth. Okay, and then we have Poliahu. Yeah, Poliahu is the goddess of Mauna Kea. She is the goddess of snow, ice, and the cold. Specifically, those are her kinolau. Her kinolau is the snow, it's the ice, and it's the chill. The summit of Mauna Loa also belongs to Poliahu. And though she occasionally still has conflicts with Pele as the goddess of fire and volcanoes. So, of course, you have the opposites, right? You have fire and ice. You have snow and lava. You have the opposites. Occasionally, you know, she has these environmental or climatic arguments or disagreements with Pele regarding the mountain of Mauna Loa. And I say that because, you know, just recently, the scientists have been have elevated the watch or the warning level of Mauna Loa because there's like seismic activity going on. Yeah, so that's Pele's movement. That is Pele's mana that comes in the way of earthquakes, you know, and actually that contributes to the Pele's kuleana of eruptions and sending lava flows. Anyway, so that's what we talk about when we say that Poliahu has occasional climatic disagreements regarding Mauna Loa with Pele, because sometimes we will see Poliahu's mantle of snow adorning the summit of Mauna Loa, which is next to Mauna Kea. And then we also see the energy and the movements of seismic activity, which triggers Pele's action and kuleana. Anyway, I also want to share with you Lili Noi. Yeah, Lili Noi is a sister of Poliahu. Lili Noi is the goddess of the fine mist. And if you ever go up to Mauna Kea, you will see the mist coming in and out. Now, if you go up to Koke'e and you see the mist, it's not necessarily Lili Noi. So some deities are in multiple places, and some deities, such as Poliahu and Lili Noi, are specific to Mauna Kea and some of the other high elevation Vawakua. And really, Lili Noi's realm and her place of residence is Haleakala. So Lili Noi is the sister of Poliahu. We see her up at Mauna Kea, but her preferred place of residence is on the summit of Haleakala. She's also the goddess of dead fires and of desolation. And you know, earlier this year, there was this really strange in the way of extraordinarily strange, Kupayanaha, magnificent, strange, snowstorms up at Haleakala. And then even on the lower flanks of Haleakala, it was snowing. I can't remember what those places were. But when I spoke to some of my Kumuhula friends and colleagues on Maui, you know, that was an unusual occurrence, but they all conclude that it definitely was Lili Noi. The Akua Wahine Lili Noi taking residence on the summit of Haleakala on Maui. Okay, and then you have Waiau. Waiau is the guardian of the lake. So there is a lake up at the top of Mauna Kea, and so. Waiau is a different, is another sister, is another female deity relative to Poliahu, the snow goddess. Waiau is the guardian of the lake, which bears her name. Her kuleana is that she bathes Poliahu and refreshes Poliahu, refreshes the drinking gourd with sweet water for Poliahu. And fetches the water using her bird form to fly from place to place. So what we see with these different deities is they can take on different kinolau. So you remember body forms. When I spoke about Kane, I mentioned that Kane, Akua, that major deity of Kane, has more than 70 forms. And so we see this with other deities in the ancient Hawaiian belief system when they are able to shapeshift or take different forms. Okay, and then there's Kahopokane. This is another sister of the snow goddess Poliahu, K-A-H-O-U-P-O-K-A-N-E. So Kahopokane is the goddess of Hualalai. So Hualalai is a neighboring summit. These are the main mountains of Hawaii Island, Mokokeawe. Kahopokane is the goddess of Hualalai. She is a master kapa maker. And when the heavy rains come from the mountains, she is throwing water on her kapa as she beats it. And when the hekili, or when the thunder rolls, that is the sound of Kahopokane beating her kapa. The flash of lightning is when she flips the bright new kapa over to work on or beat the other side of the kapa. And the morning after the storm, her kapa can be seen drying on the mountains, shining in the sunlight. And so on a sunny day, when there is thunder and a fine misty rain, but there's no clouds, that is an indication of the presence of Kahopokane. And, you know, so like this time of the year, when we know that she is pounding her summer garments. Other deities that that make their presence known up at Mauna Kea. And so, you know, even if Kahopokane, even if her place of residence is Hualalai, remember she's a relative of these, of the, of Poliahu, of Lilinoi, of Waiau. There is also the Akuawahine Lea. Lea is the goddess of canoe building. And one of her kinolau, or one of her body forms, is the bird, the little forest bird that we know of as the Elepayo. The Elepayo guides the canoe makers, or specifically the Kahuna Kalaiva'a, yeah, the priestly expert of master canoe builders, is guided or looks for Lea in her bird form of the Elepayo, who guides that Kahuna Kalaiva'a to the proper tree for cutting down and making into canoes. And she warns of the tree being bad and should not be taken or cut down for the making of the canoe by landing on the tree and pecking on it, showing that the wood is damaged and that there are bugs in the tree. And that's just one small little part of the relationship between the Kahuna Kalaiva'a and the Elepayo, that native forest, the little native forest bird. We see a lot of it. We have our own species of it up at Koke'e. But that Elepayo is a kinolau, or an animal, a bird manifestation of the goddess Lea. And then there's La'amaumau, L-A-Okina-A-M-A-O-M-A-O. La'amaumau is the goddess of the winds. And she could be called upon to guide the people on their journeys. And then last but not least on my list of main deities, and there are others, but these are the main ones that I wanted to share with you today, that have a presence on the Mauna in the realm of the Vawakua, which is why it is sacred. It's not the only reason, but it is the primordial reason that reminds us of the wisdom and the knowledge passed down by our ancestors that tell us the importance of the Mauna as a sacred place of Vawakua. Anyway, the last name that I want to share with you is a Ku form. Yeah, Ku is one of the major Hawaiian deities as well, one of the four major gods. And Ku Kahauula. Ku Kahauula is the god Ku of the red-hued dew. And he is a male deity, and he is a lover of Poliahu. Yeah, so I wanted to share that because, and you know, as this conflict, the stand on Mauna Kea continues, I'm going to continue to talk about these things so that we can understand it a whole lot more. But you know, if you go on my Facebook page, I posted last night to invite you folks to tune in this morning because I was going to talk about the sacredness of Mauna Kea. And I posted up a picture that I shared from Kumuhula Pua Case, who is one of our awesome, amazing, very dedicated, committed. In fact, our whole family is committed to the movement of Mauna Kea and protecting it. So I want to send out my aloha to Kumu Pua Case, to her kane, our dear friend who's from Kauai, but has lived up in Waimea, made his home there for many, many years now, Kalani Flores, who is also an assistant professor, I believe, with the University of Hawaii on Hawaii Island. And then their daughters, Havane and Ikalamai. I am forgetting the other daughter's name. Anyway, they're totally committed to this movement, and so I mahalo them. I mahalo a lot of our other friends, which I'll name in a little bit. But, you know, if you go to my Facebook page, Aina Ike on the Air, I posted a picture of Mauna Kea, and you will see that this picture embodies Ku Kahaula. And this phenomena happens in the early morning when the sun is rising and the first light of Kane Hualani, the sun, touches upon the summit of Mauna Kea, therefore bringing forward a reddish, pinkish hue to the Mauna. Okay, I've talked a lot this morning. I had all these songs queued up, and I'm going to play something in a little bit. But first and foremost, this is Kumuke Haolani Kekua. You're tuned into KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. The name of this program is Aina Ike on the Air. And I thank you so, so much for tuning in and for listening and for giving your love and support to Kauai's community radio. Nui ka mahalo for all of those announcements. And hey, I have a couple more as I am trying to scrunch in whatever time I have left. The morning has just slipped by. And ikala maya u if I've rambled on and on and on and on. But, you know, all of this is spontaneous. The sharing is spontaneous. And I am simply the messenger this morning for my kupuna. The ancestors who are speaking through me and using this platform of Kauai Community Radio to share with you folks just bits and pieces in little chunks, so it's digestible and we can understand it a little bit better about what's happening with the stand of on Mauna Kea. But before getting back to that topic, you know, I just want to share with you folks that after 15 months of being closed, Waipa Farmers Market is reopening today in just a couple more hours at 1:30, which is one of the most beautiful blessings on the North Shore and of Kauai. This is one of the most awesome farmers market in the beauty of Waipa, down just beyond Hanalei Town. Those of you who are visiting, go check it out. This is one of those authentic, beautiful community experiences that's really going to become a highlight of your visit to Kauai. And then, of course, to all of our kama'aina and our residents out there, please, let's all continue to support our mahi'ai of Waipa, the farmers of Waipa, by going down there and welcoming them all back and stocking up with your fresh produce and organically grown nourishments and sustenance of the aina. I love it. Okay, one more announcement too. Ka ko'omai ka wa'iomano kalani po. Today at the Lihue Airport intersection from 6 to 9 p.m., calling on the community. Hey, visitors, come stand with us as well. I won't be there. I have hula, but when I say we, I include myself, inclusively. We're all inclusive and we want to invite everyone to come out and stand and show your support for the Mauna. Wear red, because red is has that vibrancy and that mana to show solidarity for and in support of Mauna Kea, the protection of Mauna Kea, and the support for our Kia'i Mauna, or the protectors that are up there, putting their lives on the line, including the line of Kupuna, front line of Kupuna, which is just heart-wrenching. But I am so, so, so humbled and grateful that they are taking the stand. You know, they're taking the stand for all of us. They're taking the stand for their families and the community, and they're also taking the stand for their mo'opuna, their descendants that are born and the ones that are not born yet. Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I want to leave you before I run out of time, and I'm going to play one more song before I leave, is that I want all of us to think about this. I want all of us to think about what kind of an ancestor are you going to be for your mamo, for your descendants. Because when we hala, you know, it's already going to be determined wherever we land, you know. But it's this time on earth that we have to put forth our best intentions, our best actions, our expressions, and our responsibilities and obligations to be pono. Yeah, to be kind to the land, to take care of the land, to take care of the water, keep everything clean for generations upon generations to come. That's how we can all work towards becoming the best ancestor that we can be. Yeah, so we got to work on it right now. So if you can make it out to the Lihue or airport intersection, join the gang from Kauai, raising voices and energy and mana to support Mauna Kea. 629, bring your own sun protection, water, bring your flags, your Hawaiian flags, your high Hawaii, your pool, your instruments, whether it's ukulele or guitar, bring signs, Mauna gear, wear red. Stand to support the Kia'i on the front lines until the very last. Aloha aina. Ku Kia'i Mauna. Ku Kia'i Mauna. Okay. Hey, you know what, you guys? I'm almost out of time. And I want to thank all of you who are tuning in live on the live stream from around the world. There's like 90 people. Okay, well, a couple of people just went off. The last time I looked was 90, and right now it's 86 people that are tuned in from all over the world, across the Hawaiian Island chain, from Canada to Japan to Germany to Spain, to the different places and states on the continental U.S. Nui ke aloha ia oko, mahalo nui for tuning in and listening. If you... I really would love to engage in conversation and just hear your mana'o, your thoughts and your opinions, and yeah, post up on Aina Ike on the Air. That's my page for this particular radio show. But what I want to do right now is I want to play this song. Yeah. So, you know, in Kikuhin, Kaumaka Iva's chant, they did name Poliahu and Lilinoi, but they didn't. They named Poliahu and Lilinoi, and they also named Kanehualani. But then they named Nawahine Noho Mauna. Yeah, Nawahine Noho Mauna is all those sisters that I just talked about. Lilinoi, Waiau, Poliahu, Kahopo Kane. Yeah, so I want to play this song for you. This is my dear sister, Teresa Bright, and a song composed by Kumuhula Kawai Kapu Kalani Hewitt. This is a tribute to Poliahu.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Kumuhula Ke Haolani Kekua, and I thank you so much for listening to Aina Ike on the air. So thank you for tuning in, you guys. And you know what? I want to send my aloha out to Cat Ho. And I forgot to get the person's name that just called me. And they said, oh, you know what? I think the sign waving thing for Mauna Kea at the Lihue Airport intersection is from 2 to 6. Yeah. But Louis, Brother Lou, this handwritten note that you gave me, you had write 6 to 9. So, e kala mai a'u for the confusion, all of you. I'm just reading the handwritten note that Louis gave me. And, yeah, we had a little chuckle on the phone call because, you know, after 6, the sun going down, 6 to 9, nobody can see you folks in the dark if you're waving sign, and definitely you don't need sun protection during that time. So thank you, callers, and Kat, for texting me to make the correction. Yes, if you're going to go sign wave for Mauna Kea at the Lihue Airport intersection, 2 to 6 p.m. this afternoon. Thank you so, so much for tuning in to Aina Ike on the air.